Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Catherine, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hello.
How did you find Organize 365?
Well, I can't believe it's been this long, but I think it was back in 2019, I want to say. Okay. I had my last child December 2018. I believe it was when I came back from maternity leave in the spring the next year. And I know that I was on a kick. I was doing, I was trying to do steps at lunchtime. So I would go upstairs in my school building and I would walk inside, you know, to be safe and everything because there's nobody up there. And I think that's when I found it. So I found it. It was my, I think my first one, because I think I searched organize and it just quickly became my favorite. You know, you're very chipper and positive and, you know, just really, it was like really relatable. And I just started to learn things and like, it kind of set my mind on fire as far as how I could do things differently. And so I started like I always like to start way back at what I've missed. I don't like to do like out of order. So I started them and I started from the beginning, I think. And, yeah. It's been a while. I mean, time has passed.
As it does. Well, we're both preschool teachers. So maybe preschool and kindergarten teachers just see the world a little differently than everyone else does.
I think so. Yeah. And there's very much of like a, you know, for me, my husband reflects to me, like, can you please come sit down? Can you sit down? What are you doing now? And I imagine that you are the same way at home. It's like, what is it that you're doing? And I'm like, I just have to. And he's like, and so now we've agreed that when he says, please come sit down, that means that he wants to hang out and that like, aww. I have to stop and put a pause on it. It's so hard. But I can totally tell that's similar to how you are and always moving, always thinking.
Yes, totally. Always.
Yeah. And so always doing something. And like, sometimes I've learned about a lot about ADHD. You have had a lot of talking and content about that. And then I also had a change in roles this year. I got my special education certification. And then when I did that, I was like, oh, ADHD is a thing. It's not what I thought it was. So I wouldn't say, you know, I'll just be honest, like I'm not diagnosed or anything in my 40s, but I'm like ADHD adjacent maybe where it's
yeah, like, I like that. That's me too. Yeah. Then probably I'm not diagnosed. Yeah. Either. But exactly. Also who's not is what I'm.
That's what I wonder.
Who's that?
I mean, everyone I know is constantly, you know, especially the women I know are they're constantly doing things and learning things and trying new things. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just had a baby recently. So tell us about the people who live in your home with you, all the things.
Yeah. So, my husband and I found each other, again, we went to high school together. We went to like a sort of illustrious high school that, you know, public high school where everybody from the whole city came together in one location. We're kind of proud of it. But, you know, I knew him freshman year and then senior year, we kind of, you know, had like, we liked each other, but we never dated. So we found each other on social media, thank goodness. And it was like instantaneous, like, oh, you know, so. He brought into the relationship his son, who's now 22. He is also a 16-year-old, 13-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And my daughter, I only had the one. She is 9 now. And then together we had our last little person, Summer. Summer born in winter. So we are just full. And I mean full. I grew up an only child. I always wanted a much bigger family. It's difficult, you know, when your parents get older and I'm there just sort of alone. So he kind of brought that and we have really made it work. The kids are not all home 24/7, but they're there every weekend, pretty much. So rather than, you know, yeah, he's always been very, very involved, always had them every morning to take them to the bus, feed them breakfast and everything. So now our weekends are like, the house is full and we have pets. I always have had lots of pets, like Abby. I'm like the pet lady. I have a dog. We have two cats, two rabbits, some fish. I made a pond a few years ago in my backyard. And I really want chickens. I don't hear a lot about chicken people in the community, but I really want backyard chickens. And both my father and my husband are against it so far. So
that was wasn't that a really big thing? Like in 2008, 2009, everybody started getting chickens.
I didn't even, wasn't on my radar, but now it is. I know more about chickens than any other person who doesn't have chickens.
So, I don't want chickens, but I would love the project of creating a chicken coop and getting it all stocked up and all those things. I would love that. And also I would like fresh eggs. I love fresh eggs.
Yeah. We have so we live in Chicago in the city, but we have a lot of neighbors who have backyard chickens, and we have a neighbor who lets us visit. And so our chicken love is like, you know, we go over there and my daughter picks up the chicken and she has special names for the chickens, even though those aren't their actual names. Chickens are really hilarious. And we rescued a rooster 2 weeks ago. So,
but we must not be able to go on vacation even when the pandemic isn't a thing, right? Because who would take care of all of these things that have heartbeats that are your domain?
Right. And I actually worked at a vet and I did a lot of animal rescue, a lot of, you know, work for my whole, you know, for probably the last 20 years. I slowed down once I had children, but when you work at a veterinarian, you get discounts. And so that is a huge thing. And then when you have to start paying for your own veterinary care, it's like, what? It's like, huge.
This is why Abby's not allowed to work at a pet store or a veterinarian place, because I do not want to be a zoo.
If you do a veterinarian, then you can actually bring animals that you find to the veterinarian and have other people adopt them. It's a thing.
I think Abby would keep them all. I really, really think she would. Okay. So
I understand.
You're walking up and downstairs at school and you're Googling podcasts. So why did you decide to get organized?
I always was sort of, I always had the desire, but looking back, I remember the disorganization of my childhood and upbringing. I just don't think anybody ever had these conversations with my parents. I think that my mother was just a really lovely woman. She passed when I was in high school, which was understandably super rough, but she always wanted to beautify her space. And I remember she brought art in. She also loved, like I do, like plants, gardening, flowers, botanical things. And she always wanted to beautify, but looking back, I remember we just had so many things. And then my father, bless his heart, who's wonderful, he's 80 years old. He expressed love. I think his love language was paper, because like, he's like,
paper. Okay. That's not what I've heard of, but let's go with that.
No, it's true. Because he, being this very literate man, very intellectual, would leave, only a few years ago did he finally stop, would leave newspaper clippings on my stairs or, you know, send them to me or keep them for me, like stacks and stacks of newspaper clippings. Like, I mean, he has stacks of newspaper clippings and things in the basement. Like, and his thing was make a stack and then put it in the box and then just put it in the basement. And it used to make me nuts because I was thinking like, how could you possibly know where that one article is? Yeah. The internet slowed that down. So it's been not great in some ways, because it can be a slippery slope of crazy like information, which, you know, negativity, but it also has slowed down the paper trail. But my grandmother used to do it too. My mother's mother used to send us newspaper clippings from New York that she thought, you know, we would be interested in.
My grandpa did this too. He would mail us newspaper clippings. Maybe it's just a generational thing.
And I still have some. Yeah, it must be generational. My grandmother had been born in 1912. I mean, and she also was very, you know, literate and fancied herself a writer and everything.
It's like email or sending a meme. Like you send a funny meme.
It is. Yeah, it's different now.
Kind of like just, that.
Yeah.
Only highbrow.
Exactly. Like New York Times. Like
right.
But that also made for like a house full of stuff. So, you know, yeah. my office right now, we do share a two flat. We call them in Chicago a two flat. So that's like a duplex, you know. He's on the first floor where I grew up. Oh. And we are on the second floor.
Fun.
But the basement, Lisa, is full of stuff. And you know what he told me the other day? I said, I'm going to be on the podcast. And he's like, oh, great. He's like, me next about organizing.
Yes. Okay. Because JB was on the podcast and he's 94.
Yes.
So yes, your dad is next. You tell him. She said, yep, you're next, buddy.
I'm going to try. Like, I would like nothing more than to help. So I asked him because we text. I said, do you want help? Because are you serious? And you know what he said? I have too much stuff. I need more space.
You can't buy a house right now. There are no more houses. There's no more land. You must conserve space.
It's just the two of them. It's my father and his life partner, Lisa. And then the basement, his basement is full. And my thinking is like, we might not need all of these empty boxes, but generation.
So I wonder, it seems to me like the paper is a passion project actually.
Yeah. For him, it is. Yeah.
So, and you're allowed to have a passion project.
Right.
So instead of trying to figure out how to eliminate a passion project, which is like impossible.
Right.
Instead, could you find out what things in the basement are not passion project related and are urgent and important for, you know, just creating a medical and financial and household reference binder? Because you all live in this house, you own the house or rent it or whatever.
Right.
So you need the paperwork for the house. You need the paperwork for all of the financial assets and the physical inventory. And then if there's any medical paper, which there's probably not, you need that too. And then like photos and memorabilia, that would be a different category.
Oh, he's a photographer.
Categorized. So you're like, okay, this is paper passion project. This is photos and memorabilia, like family history. And this is what should be in the binders, and then create the binders. Cause JB was really, he liked his binders. Maybe your dad would like his binders, create the binders. And then you mentally know that the basement is like a gigantic treasure chest, but it's not any of the paperwork that you need for urgent and important legal matters.
You're right. And she has shown me his accordion file with the important things, but the binders would be very, it'd be very useful to him, but you're right. That is his passion project. Paper.
He's not going to get rid of it,
but there's other things that I could help him go through, like cans of paint and things like that.
Yes, exactly. Leave all the paper, get rid of everything else. And then he can just enjoy that. And you can enjoy that. He enjoys that. And that is unique for him in his lifetime,
makes
but it's not your photos. So separate the photos out from the paper passion project.
He's a photographer and he taught photography. And so the photos are just
another passion project.
Exactly. He has a lot of
passion. Then in the photos, you could separate out again. He's probably not going to get rid of any, but you could separate out photos that are historical memory photos for your family and photos that are passion project photos. Again, just for him in his lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the sorting is done. All the physical assets are still there, but the sorting is done for you for future. If that makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah. Okay, good. I've thought about the enormity of the task, but I feel prepared.
Instead of like, how do we organize and go through every single thing? Your only question is, what do I need 100 years from now? Organize those things and let everything else just stay where it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's going to be so much easier, isn't it?
I mentioned to him. We'll see how they
go. Well, I'm sure he'll listen to the podcast. So he'll know that I said so.
Right.
All right. All right. So what have you done for your own person? Have you done anything for your own personal organization or is it just thinking about your dad? Okay. So let's go through what you have done with, what's your organization journey been like?
Well, I had a lot to do in my storage. Having two kids, like birthing two kids that were somewhat far apart. So the accumulation, you know, phase was still kind of there. I was really glad that I saved things and they were organized, but things got crazy in the storage. So I tackle the storage. One thing that was really, really useful for me, because I would get overwhelmed and I would get anxious, thinking, well, I have to do this and I have to do that. Just knowing that I could come back to it, and that if I wasn't feeling it at the time, because that's something I really learned from you. Like, you will come back and there will be a mood, and the mood will strike you, and you can kind of go with the cycle. You can kind of go with the flow. It's not like you have to do everything and it has to be perfect, because that's not going to happen. Yeah. So I got that storage together. We put shelves up, we put the totes, the bins and everything. In that space, so over social isolation time, that space was like super necessary, because the kids were remote learning and I was teaching from home, and it was a lot. So I put like a carpet remnant down there and I just cleared it out, and they were actually able to go downstairs and get some space a little bit, you know, sit on beanbags and just sort of detach from everybody being in each other's space. So that was an area that I made that I wouldn't have thought of, but, you know, I thought, why not? Yeah. It's not pretty, but it's, you know, it's something. We don't have a large, you know, we have a basement full of dad's, you know, cool stuff. We don't have a lot of space. And then I think it was like 2021 spring maybe. And I was just finishing up with remote learning. I had to go back in, I think, in like April. And I was really like, there was a lot going on. It was a little bit stressful with the school district and everything. And I, instead of keeping our little back porch as, you know, the rabbits and mudroom, like boots and just sort of kind of a mess, I just transformed it. I made it pleasant. I put up some contact on this, you know, I reorganized the way that everything was. I made it work for me. And then I also do, you know, gardening and growing vegetables and everything. So I had my shelf with my seed starting lamps and everything. And I basically spent a little bit of time thinking about decor and plants and all sorts of pretty things. And I just put all of the things that I enjoy to look at and to touch and feel, you know, crystals and things like that, that make me just sort of smile. I made that back porch a pleasant area to go and sit, to put a chair in there and everything. So thinking about sort of using every available space in the house, making areas for people sort of retreat, it was, I think that it helped me organize 365 mindset, helped me to look at spaces differently. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's kind of like a self-care moment for me. It's not big, but when, you know, the three-year-old is screeching and, you know, the nine-year-old, mom, can I? Yeah. And then everybody's kind of annoyed and watching devices. I'm like, let me go over there. And I close the door and I kind of have some quiet, which I need. I rarely have, you know, any alone time. So
I like how you found two different spaces, kind of like out of the way spaces. It wasn't like you took a space that you were using for something else and converted it. You took space that either you cleaned up the space in the basement to make enough space for kids literally to separate from adults. Yeah. And then you like to be outside. So I'm thinking that the porch, is it a glass porch?
Screen? It is closed, but is not insulated. Okay. So I have like a little refrigerator.
Yeah.
But it's necessary. I needed to add shelves, different places. It's necessary. We have a small space and everybody was on top of each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, as you were describing what you did in your porch, it sounded a lot like how you described what your mom did in your house. Did you think about that?
I didn't, but it is.
Yeah.
Because it overlooks the garden and her, you know, the rosebush that she planted, it was all bare with like chain link fence when we moved there in the 1980s. And, you know, there's her rose bushes and her tulips still come up every year. It's been like years. So yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So and, cool. You know, and that's actually a way that I honor her, because I'm always looking at, we're always talking about and trying to honor, you know, our values as a family, like what is important to us. And that actually is a really interesting connection, because I remember she used to save postcards with flowers on them and everything and try to tack them up, but this is more intentional. So.
Yeah, that's just so cool. It's funny how, when you kind of move through your journey in one way, it brings you back around to things in the past. I've never heard anybody be able to tell two stories where you could definitely just tie that right back to the other one. So that's, That's really, really cool.
That makes sense. And, you know, both my father and I always were savers, and all of our extended family. So we, you know, my grandmothers and everything. So we have so many things that meant something to them. I have a tin portrait of my great grandmother that my mother used to hang, and now it's in my house. But it's like, I never really made the connection that organizing does make space for you to honor the things that are valuable to you. And that is something that I like to share with my father in the future and with my kids, like letting them know that, you know, when you make space and you don't have as much, you know, you can kind of value, you can put those things that are really valuable to you, like in honored spaces. So that's also something I've been, you know, I've thought about.
Well, and if we go back to the paper passion project that your dad has, so he's cut out and saved all these different headlines or articles or news information.
Yeah.
And he used to leave them on the steps for you, which now makes sense because I realized you guys are in the same house. I didn't realize that before.
Yeah.
And share that information with you. I'm thinking, what if you just grabbed one of those boxes and had it upstairs and like at dinner or sitting on the back patio or whenever he's around, just like have everybody grab them out. And like, you know, even though you said all these kids are around on the weekend, like they could pull them out and he'd be like, oh yeah, that was from this. And he could tell the story about why he kept that thing. And then the knowledge would spread to the next generation. And then maybe he won't feel like he needs to actually keep that piece of paper because he's been able to share that, or the kids could turn it into a scrapbook over the weekend, or I don't know, but we save these things. Like he's purposefully saved these things. But when you can share the memory with people today, that's the important part of the saving, not the organizing or putting it somewhere. It's the bringing it back out and talking about it.
That's true. I really appreciate his instincts and his, what he did, because for instance, when my grandmother passed away, she lived in a farmhouse in New York, upstate New York. My mother had already passed away. So we went out there and he boxed up all of her papers and he had them shipped back home. And my uncle, who's also a sweetheart, he said, that's all junk. And I remember my father was like, no. And so in there are things like my grandfather's social security card from like 1980. So yeah, I've been working on putting those in sleeves and everything, you know, it's a bit of a project, but.
But he could do it. Like, I mean, just those 1-inch, you know, fake leather binders that we have, the memorabilia binders and packs of sheet protectors, like just have him write down the story and put the article there. And like, and then you can look through it. And it'd be so cool for your kids to be able to look at that binder 50 years from now. Like, that's why I have scrapbooks in these binders of stuff from past generations for our family. Cause it's literally your history. And it's your dad's interpretation of that history as it happened. Like we are all living through a historic time and our great grandchildren will ask us about the pandemic in the 2020s and what it was like for us and what we did. And they will, you know, ask us. So this is part of our history and he could share part of that history with the kids. And I'll tell you what, maybe not all 6 of them would be interested, but some of them would be. Like, I loved hearing my grandparents tell stories like that about what history was like having experienced it. Then when you learn about it in school too, you're like, okay, well, I have a framework for that because my uncle was in that war or my grandfather did this, or, you know, my grandmother did this. And so I had that historical connection to a real life person who lived through that.
Absolutely. I know that certain kids, I have ideas of which kids will be the most interested.
But yeah. And that'd be fun. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that'd be really fun and different. So anyways, okay. That's the teacher in us. We're like, oh, how do we turn this into a lesson? Okay. So what's happened on this journey of getting organized that you did not expect to happen?
Honestly, I guess it was just mind altering, like thoughts about mindset, you know. Mm-hmm. Organizing is not really just physical. So changing the way I view things, giving me perspective. From listening to the podcast for so long, I kind of think it's like, it's just a different way of looking at things, sort of a piece of like, I don't have to freak out about this because I will come back to that. You know, when I open my drawer, And I see there are a couple things in there that I want to give away. And I know that I could just go put them in the bin, but I just say, oh, stop. When my energy is right, I will come back to that. And the same thing with the kids' drawers or, you know, things in the kitchen, maybe the Tupperware gets a little bit disheveled. Just have that perspective of, I will come back to this when my energy is right, when I get my energy, you know, back for it. You know, teaching and having all the children and just having a busy life, having older parents, doing all those things, you know, we're the same generation between the elderly parents and the children having younger children. There's a lot going on. There's just time is of the essence. So, just perspective, knowing that. And then also, you know, everyone seems to talk about grace when they talk on the podcast. That is not something that I really knew about growing up. We didn't have a lot of conversations about grace. We had conversations about other great values, but grace was huge for me in this time of life. Because, you know, we're all doing the best we can. We're not all, it's not, you know, an expert in everything, different things for different people. Everything is not for everyone. So when you give yourself grace, it helps you to give other people in your life grace, to understand your parents, you know, did the best with whatever it was at the time with the, you know, for the most part, with the knowledge they had at the time. Your partner, you know, giving grace to your partner is like huge in a relationship because, you know, it's, and also with your kids and trying to understand everything they deal with in a day, going to school and coming back and the whole thing. So grace is super important as an adult. Yeah. And I didn't really know that growing up, but when you frame your organizational journey and then you give yourself time periods and you put your papers in your Sunday basket and you go through them and you sort of have a way of doing things, it just helps you to give yourself some rest when you need it. I'm still struggling. It's a constant.
I love how you've said numerous times during this interview that you just follow your energy. And I know for some people, they'd be like, then I'd get nothing done because I never have the energy for this and I have zero desire to do it. I think over time, the longer you listen to Organize 365, like somehow I manufacture energy and then all of a sudden you just can't help it. You just start organizing. But I love that you keep saying that because you're right. Like especially six kids and living with your dad and, you know, in the same house with your dad and working and you have a little kid and it just, it's exhausting. Like I'm exhausted listening and I'm like, exactly. Just because you know something needs to be decluttered when you see it in a drawer does not mean you need to declutter it right now. And you're saying that that's how I live. Like I live an organized life, but if I had to go declutter for a day, I could declutter the entire day, but I'm not going to for months because it's not to the level where I need it decluttered yet. And I would rather sleep in later, hold the baby, do a jigsaw puzzle than I would like to. It's organized enough for me at this stage. Yeah. I don't feel like I want to spend my energy that way right now.
Yeah. And then part of that, because you've been touching on this some recently about planned neglect. Like, so just this weekend was like one of the first, it's really hard for me on Saturday morning. I was jumping up and then sort of telling the kids what they needed to do or asking them or this and that and the other, and jumping right into things. But I am finally teaching myself to take it easy a little bit. And if I want to go do passion projects, like last Saturday I went and I carefully watered all of my succulents. Like that's what I want. That's passion project. That is self-care. And that is okay for me to do. And then Sunday I did the laundry day and learning that maybe I should be a laundry once a week person because otherwise, you know, laundry sits in a laundry room for 3 days. So
yeah,
I'm finally learning that like passion project is okay. Why can't I sit here and go play with my plants for a little while? Like you guys aren't, you know, nothing's going to fall apart.
Yes. So yay. Yay you.
Yeah.
What do you think you have more of now? And what do you think you have less of?
More perspective, more peace, more patience, Perspective is huge because in professional life too, I was able to draw back, look at where I was teaching, what I was teaching, how long I'd been there. After 20 years, I got different certifications. I made a plan. I enacted the plan and I changed locations. So I changed schools, I changed job roles. And so perspective, being able to organize that, make it happen. I mean, that was a huge thing for me. So I kind of like had perspective, like I have been here 19 years at this first school that I, you know, sorry, that is a long time and it is okay to move on and do something different, get that out. And I have less stuff and there is stuff that needs to go in the same vein of not having to take the things out of the drawer. I've been looking at the same couple things, you know, big plastic toy things for my daughter. And I'm like, that's going to go. But when it's warmer and I can have, we have a free neighborhood exchange, which is like amazing. I will post all of those on our free neighborhood exchange and people will come and take them and enjoy them. But when it's warm, you know, so I would say less stress, although I'd say that I have good stress, you know, for the most part. Kids and animal jobs and constantly moving is slightly stressful. I guess I would less surprises. Less on my mind on a constant basis.
Less on your mind. And, I like that.
Yeah. More room to think, more room to think big picture. Mm-hmm. And that extends to my dad and my aunt, you know, looking at my big picture, organizing my memories for our immediate family. Like we do a yearbook for the kids and the kids look at the photo book and the kids look at it they look at it all the time. They see their memories, but knowing that my father will need help and my father and I will be able to, you know, write those things down and write down records and things is also really helpful. So perspective is important for that.
Is there anything you wish you knew sooner?
I guess mainly that organization is a learnable and teachable skill. Mm-hmm. Not everyone had that modeled for them. Mm-hmm. Not everybody knows how to do that. So if you train yourself and you learn about it, you train yourself, you can teach others, you can share it. I would have liked to do it as a younger person. I would have appreciated somebody sort of passing it on, but
we've got six younger people that are watching you now. That's a lot of people.
But like you say, some may be naturally organized-y,
and
some maybe not so into it. So I'm trying to figure that out.
But they're all watching.
Right. They do say like, are you listening to Lisa, your podcast lady? I mean, they can we not listen to the podcast? Can we listen to something?
Tell them I said hi.
I will. They were excited.
What advice would you give someone who's just starting out?
I guess just know that it will come, you know, take small steps and small steps will become bigger steps and you'll get there. You can't do it all at once and it doesn't have to look perfect. It should work for you. It should make things easier as you move on, as you, you know, do your day to day. And that it's okay, I guess, to, you know, not have it be, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to help you save time. Like if you start with the small things, you're going to save five times that amount of time the next day. Start prepping small things, start getting things ready the night before and see how much time, you know, you save. I think that lots of people don't really realize how much organization can help them. So I'm always telling people about the podcast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it a lot. And thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
It was my pleasure.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.